Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Here we go, hour two. Joel Klatt joining us, voice of college football here for Fox Sports in a couple of minutes. This is The Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be listening, Fox Sports Radio, right here on FS1. Tomorrow we are off. Friday we're back. Tomorrow there's a lot of things happening on this network, a lot of sports, baseball, NFL. So we are off tomorrow. Then we are back Friday. It's just the way the game works tomorrow. We got a lot of things in the building. And because of COVID, the number of people we can have in the building and the testing, it's just kind of an odd day. We don't take days off in the football season, but tomorrow we're off. So we're here today, and Joel Klatt will join us. By the way, I like my presidents to be presidential. Not a huge fan of the current guy. I like a little presidential, a little refined, a little humble. I like my quarterbacks to be quarterback-eel. Russell Wilson, Tom Brady. Refined, humble, credit to others. But I'm kind of over it. In social media, let's tear down the icons and let's be falsely humble about people nobody cares about. Everybody that's irrelevant is suddenly fascinating, and all the icons who are relevant are just overpaid and overrated. I'm over it. So I'm okay with Aaron Rodgers saying this yesterday, and he said this on a podcast on the Pat McAfee show. Here it is.
You know, I sometimes laugh when people talk about, you know, down years for me, because a lot of times down years for me are career years for most quarterbacks.
Yeah! Yeah! That was awesome.
Hey, it's just the facts, bro.
That's funny. And I'm okay with it. Like, I'm okay with it. Aaron Rodgers, 2 times MVP, Super Bowl. He just got a divorce publicly with, Mike McCarthy. McCarthy is drowning. He's drowning. And Aaron Rodgers is not. He's flourishing. And if he's feeling himself, it's okay. Yesterday, Howard Stern signed a $120 million contract. All the losers came out of the woodwork. Oh, you could have 200 podcasts for that. Oh, gosh, what the world needs. 200 more podcasts nobody listens to. There's 10 sports podcasts in America that have an audience. I have one. I don't need another podcast I won't listen to. I need Howard Stern, or I don't listen to XM Sirius. Their stock went up when Howard's contract was announced. My wife would not renew it without Howard. It's okay to acknowledge Howard's great. Oprah's great. Russell Wilson's great. Aaron Rodgers great. LeBron James great. Urban Meyer great. Nick Saban great. I'll give them once a year. I'll let them smoke a cigar and puff their chest and go, I'm pretty good. It's okay. Or you can prefer Twitter, where we're falsely humble and everybody that's irrelevant is, oh, you are so great. Not really. We don't need any more podcasts. You can shut it down right now. Howard's great. Aaron's great. I'm going to give them a little moment to flex, and we're all going to be okay because it's authentic and honest. And isn't that what we want from our athletes? I like that Aaron Rodgers is honest. I got enough BSers in my life. I got enough politicians, enough people selling me nonsense. I got enough of that in my life. What I don't have is honesty. That's what I want. And speaking of honesty, a man who is often wrong, but never without conviction or authenticity, Joel Klatt, the voice of college football at this network, the only guest with the courage to join us in studio.
What's going on?
Hey.
Hey, I think I'm going to start a podcast. What do you think? What do you think?
You and Gus and Jenny. Jenny, by the way, is on my airplane Saturday night, does not acknowledge my existence.
Why? Did she recognize you?
She said later she did. She had a Fox, what do you call it, like a mouth guard on for COVID, right?
A mask?
A mask.
Is that what they're calling it these days? Mouth guard?
That's Jenny Taft. I was going to go up to her, but she ignored me. And then later she goes, yeah, I thought it was you.
To be fair, I would ignore you as well.
All right, whatever.
No, okay, so here we go.
This segment's almost run out of time. Okay, let's get to the brass tacks on this.
Let's do it.
Texas can't lose to TCU year after year after year.
It's true.
Okay, recruiting matters. It's Texas. That's USC losing to Cal. I don't want to see. I'll give you one. I don't want to see it again and again and again and again.
Think about this. TCU, before joining the Big 12, was 1-32 in their last 33 against Texas. And then they're 7-2 since joining the conference.
Yeah.
That's a problem.
By the way, the boosters know. If USC started losing to Cal, you can lose to Oregon occasionally. You can lose to Ohio State, Michigan. You start losing to Cal, the boosters are like, no way. We can't do that. Cal's a rugby program. We're the football program.
I mean, I'm not going to throw cold water on Cal quite like that, call him a rugby program. But yes, it's absolutely the truth. This is why when it comes to – and we're doing Red River this week, and it's such an interesting game, right? Not just because there's no fair going on. There's going to be, you know, 25% capacity. I mean, it's going to feel so different. But it's also Oklahoma's coming off back-to-back conference losses for the first time since the John Blake era.
Yeah.
It's like, don't mention that to Oklahoma fans. Right. They'll plug their ears. And then Texas, again, losing to an unranked opponent – as a ranked team. Did you know since Herman got there in 2017, he's 11-6 in such games where he's ranked, they're not.
That was the knock on him going in. He was a great underdog coach, but he flailed a little bit as a favorite coach.
He was good at Houston. Let's face it. They were really good at Houston, yeah. And that's one of the reasons. He was a giant slayer at Houston. Remember, he beat that Lamar Jackson team at Louisville.
Yeah.
He beat Oklahoma. I mean, he did a lot of really good things at Houston. The knock, though, is that those six losses as a ranked team to unranked opponents are the most in college football over that span.
Oh.
So that's a problem for that fan base, right? They know it, and they want that to change. And by the way, OU's not ranked this week. Like, all the pressure in the world is on Texas. And here's the reason. Do you want to know the reason? Texas's roster is built to win this year. The 2018 recruiting class was one of the best in the country. They're all third-year players in that program. They've got to get it done. They've got 30 players on their roster that have starting experience. I believe it's the third or fourth best roster in all of college football. When you look at the 24/7 composite rankings, which just looks at where kids were ranked when they were recruited, Texas is one of the most talented rosters in the country. 53 of their players were 4 or 5-star players.
So why can't they tackle? They're a bad defensive team. They're out of position. They don't tackle particularly well.
No, I disagree with that. You didn't watch closely enough. They're tackling better. They're more in position this year than they have been. They just have been underdeveloped over the last number of years.
They don't get a consistent pass rush in that conference.
No, they don't. And they're starting. They changed some positions around. So a guy named Joseph Asai, not to get into the weeds, but he moved from linebacker down to about like a jack end position, and he started to put pressure on Duggan a little bit last week against TCU, and I think that will continue during the course of the season. So they've got a lot of kids changing positions because Chris Ash is running a very different style of defense than what Todd Orlando did the change at coordinator. Orlando's now with USC. But this all pales in OU is in a full rebuild right now.
Yeah.
Right? I said they lost the two conference games. They have a quarterback that they're breaking in for the first time in Lincoln Riley's tenure at OU.
I got no questions about Oklahoma. They have a
They'll be fine in the future.
They have a right every 15 years to rebuild for a year. I got no issues with Oklahoma. Texas, I got issues. Now you're in a third year of a rebuild. In a conference, frankly, there's one team Texas plays every year with as much talent, Oklahoma.
That's right.
That is it.
That's right.
Your rebuild is 2 years tops.
And this year they have more talent than Oklahoma. Right. So they have to, at least, at a minimum, play for a Big 12 championship. And if they lose Saturday, they lose control of their own destiny to get to that game. It's a must win. The pressure is squarely between the eyes of Texas.
All right. I always like Texas. Clemson, Miami. Okay. Miami looks like they have a great rush end, by the way. They have probably the best rush end defense. Okay. You know, I have a lot of people selling this real estate to me for years. Oh, beachfront. That's the best. Buy. Then the market collapses with Miami. Yeah, they've sold me a lot of high-rise condos that are worth half of what I bought them for.
It's different this year. I'm just telling you.
I was going to say, defensively, I watch them.
They're good.
They're good. They got NFL guys.
And you know what? They're fast. They can rush the quarterback. They can cover. You know, all these fundamental things. Manny Diaz has got a defense that is pretty good.
Was that his hallmark? Like,
absolutely. He was a defensive coordinator.
Okay, because he got the defense cooking fast.
Absolutely. He's a defensive-oriented coach. And then the big shift for me, I've always thought like, hey, Miami's going to be able to play defense under Manny. They'll have the talent. They'll have the speed. The big question for me was, what kind of quarterback play am I going to get? What type of offense am I going to get? Rhett Lashley is their new offensive coordinator. When you pair him now with De'Aaron King, they're averaging 43 points a game this year. You know, Derek King is
can
is,
they beat Clemson? Here's what I care about. Can they compete with – can they lose –
Yes, they can.
Can they lose 33-24 and it's a game until 8 minutes to go?
Last week, Clemson only beat – I can't even remember. Who was it? Virginia by 18. And it was only the second time in the last couple of years that an ACC team has been within even 30 points of Clemson. This is going to be a close game.
Okay.
I'll call it my almost upset of the week.
Such courage.
It's not quite going to be an upset, but it's going to be an almost upset.
Let me tell you something.
Thank you. I have always said this.
College football.
That took a lot of courage.
Yeah.
I agree. Thank you, Colin.
College football is way better. Nothing against the Ohio States and Michigans, Notre Dame's. It's way better when Miami and USC on the coast have swagger, are arrogant. College football's got a bunch of good old boys. I like a little city. I like the Hurricanes. I like the Trojans. I like Miami coming back. So it gives me somebody to root for against.
You. Aaron Rodgers puffs his chest out. Then the new all me. Of a sudden, Colin starts feeling
He's
himself. Look
hair.
At me. I got one of the top 10 podcasts. I'm on the coast.
Colin is edgy now.
That's the new me now. I've heard. It's nothing. I'm tired of people being falsely humble. Miami and USC should brag. They're cooler than Virginia Tech.
I totally disagree.
Oh, you think Virginia Tech is cool?
What has Miami and USC done in the last decade brag?
Hey, Ricky.
Let's be honest. Listen, Miami, you got a really good team. You should be in the top 10. I've got you in the top 10. What have you done in the last decade to brag about?
Time out.
USC, what have you done in the last decade to brag about? What are you talking about?
Hey.
Falsely humble. They better be humble. You've been down in the dirt for a decade.
Hey, what has Ricky Martin done in a decade? Walks into a room, he's still cool. Ricky Martin walks into a room.
No person under the age of 38 years old thinks Ricky Martin is cool.
Okay, let's go to this. So I'm over Alabama. It's boring, but I will say this.
Oh, yeah, you know, they've only been the best program in college football. But give me Miami and USC, but Bama is boring. What are we doing today?
Okay, Bama, it looks like they're good again, and they're kind of – they don't need quarterbacks. They're like the only program that like –
Why is that boring?
I'd like a little – I be honest. Do you watch the Chiefs and the Seahawks and Green Bay? Why? Because they win the right way. They're fun. I like fun in my life. I'm not an old suburb guy boring. I'm going out partying every night. Why is
you
that in town?
You are out of control today. Out of your mind today. First of all, Steve Sarkisian's offense at Alabama has been more explosive than any other offense in college football thus far. They might not be leading the country in scoring offense like Texas, but you talk about explosive plays down the field.
They've been
even
good.
With Mac Jones.
No.
They've got Jalen Waddle. They've got Smith. They've got this new kid. I think it's Michi or however you pronounce his name. I'll figure it out. They're going for 75-plus yard touchdowns all over.
Yeah.
Apparently, folks, on your TV, this is not exciting. These down-the-field throws, bludgeoning people with defense, being able to run the football, playing sound defense, being ranked number one in the country at some point in every season in the last 12 years. That's boring to good old Colin. Give him some USC futility. They haven't done jack in a decade, but boy, they're on a coast. Tuscaloosa, what have you got on USC? Apparently this, long touchdowns, running away from the defense. Oh, yep. This is just blasphemy today. I came up here, I was looking forward to a cordial conversation, and we get this.
Listen,
USC is all the rage, and Alabama is boring.
Rob Stone makes you, he's very nice. I've got an edge to me that makes everyone uncomfortable. And you're just going to have to deal with it. And this show, the new show,
you know,
as Joy pointed out.
There's a fine line between uncomfortable edge and...
weirdo?
There you go.
So let me just say this. So your top 10 is
Joy,
Clemson,
am I right?
Ohio State, Alabama, Florida, Georgia, Miami, Penn State, Notre Dame, Oregon, Oklahoma State. Everybody opted out for Oregon's offense. They're no good.
I know.
USC's going to win that. Everybody, their offensive line, their left
USC
tackle.
USC didn't receive one vote in the AP poll. Oregon's got some trouble, by the way, with their offensive line, their quarterback, like you were just saying.
They opted out.
Florida, Georgia is going to be an unbelievable game. Georgia looks really good, but just pump your brakes on the whole, like, Georgia fans. Ugh, Georgia fans. They're like, oh, Stetson Bennett. He can win a national championship. It was one game. He had a run game and a great defense. Like, just wait on the whole Stetson Bennett's going to be just fine.
Okay, let me ask you this. Let's go back to Tom Herman.
Go ahead.
And I want honesty on this one.
That's all I give you. I'm like a truth bomb in your face every Wednesday.
Oklahoma beats Texas by 2 touchdowns. Are the Regents in Texas getting on the phone and making plans? You know, they always say, you're fired a month or two before you're fired. He loses by two touchdowns. They can't stop Oklahoma. They lose to a freshman quarterback with an upper-class quarterback. Are the Regents at Texas getting on the phone and saying, Jimmy Sexton, give us a list? Jimmy Sexton's a big agent in college football.
I don't know, because just the context of COVID is making coaching decisions so much different with the budgets where they're at with all these, even for a place like Texas.
Yeah.
So I don't know. That's a good listen. That's a good question. That's the best question you've asked all day, and I don't have a good answer for you. I personally think Texas is on the right track. I love their coordinators. They should win. I mean, they should have won last week. I don't know why they don't run quarterback power on the 1 yard line.
Goulet. Sorry to bother you.
Goulet sleeping back there?
Could you give me the line on Texas, Oklahoma, Fox bet? I'm going to guess.
I'm going to guess right now Texas would be 6.5.
I would say Texas 4. I think Texas favored by 4. You say Texas
Goulet
favored.
Goulet had to wake up his computer.
He's looking at the Conn Smythe division in hockey. He's over there. Jesus. That of the Yankees bullpen. He's on that thing all day. I left a company with 9 bosses who were on the Yankee website all day. Come on, Goulet. I'm going to guess. What is it? What do you got?
What was your guess?
My guess is Texas minus 4. And
I was minus 6.5.
Oh, just so wrong. Oklahoma minus 2.5.
Oklahoma's favored?
Wow. I got to tell you right now. I'm going to do a twofer. I'm going to bet.
Fox bet did that?
I'm going to bet on Fox bet. When I get home, I'm going to bet Texas plus the points and Tampa Bay minus the points against the Bears tomorrow. That's my twofer.
Since I'm doing the game, I'm not going to bet.
Did you say Herman was good as an underdog? There you go. He's an underdog.
Yeah, but he's ranked and the opponent isn't. 11-6 in such games. Goulet, follow along here. We did this already. That's the most losses in such games since 2017.
You started strong today, kind of tapered
off. Yeah, I tell you, something weird is happening up here. USC's better than Alabama? Or wait, what did you say? More exciting? I guess losing is more exciting than winning, folks.
Joy and I.
No. Joy was giving you a weird look when you were bringing up this strange. I think USC is better than Alabama.
No. They're more captivating. I like captivating.
Really? When USC
like a train
is good,
wreck is more captivating than a ballet?
Hey. Well, not right now, but when USC is good, they're more captivating than Alabama, absolutely.
They're LA. They're Miami. It's fun. They're
and
flashy.
Miami, for sure.
They're obnoxious.
Well, we know that you love Miami.
Listen, the U invented swagger, okay?
That's right.
So
I don't disagree with that.
I love when Miami's great. They're just in your face.
I mean, you know, I grew up in Denver, son of a Marine. I'll take a program that's been number one in the country at some point in every year in the last 12 years. You know, consistency. The things that we used to really marvel at in this world, consistency.
Sound like you're running for office right there. Okay, Joel Klatt. Man, it's maybe a consideration. The Voice, you and Gus Johnson and Jenny are doing the
Oklahoma bite. Is
What? Nothing.
Weird line.
You should.
Weird line.
Yeah, you should run for office. You are electable.
He's got his sleeves rolled up.
You do. You have a working class ethos. Yep. You're very much middle America.
Man of the people.
Yeah. I got no interest in that at all.
I'm not. Yeah, I know. You're an elitist on the coast. Yeah. This has been established.
Hey, I've said before, I love the Midwest. I fly over it all the time.
You're the worst. All those people. I'm here to defend you.
All right, Joel Klatt, you're awesome. Tristan Thompson, Lakers are going to win another title, a coastal team. Can't wait for that. That's around the corner.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Thursday Night Football returns to Fox. Brady and the all-new Bucks look like the real deal as he meets Super Bowl 52 rival Nick Foles and the Bears on Fox, NFL Network, and streaming on Prime Video.
O.J. Howard out for the year. They are fortunately deep at tight end. I'll take the Buccaneers to win that game and cover. That's the first Thursday night game that feels like big boy football. They go to the Bears, just got humbled by the Colts. That wasn't even, that game was a...
Yeah, their defense looked incredible.
Oh, my God. Nick Foles had to throw up the right sideline to Allen Robinson with a couple minutes to go. But it was, I had Chicago in that game. It was not even close. Boost your healthy T levels, burn fat. Check it out, mdriveformen.com. mdriveformen.com. Today, Joy Taylor with the news.
No. Turn on the news. This is the Herd Line News,
sponsored by Mercedes-Benz. The best or nothing.
The Texans need a new head coach after firing Bill O'Brien this week.
Yeah.
Tom Brady worked with O'Brien for several years in New England. He didn't agree with the move, saying it didn't make sense to him, especially so early in the season. Dabo Swinney, who won a national championship with Deshaun Watson at Clemson, was asked if he would be interested in reuniting with his former quarterback in Houston, but he wouldn't even entertain the question, saying that is not even anything I want to have to think about. The odds for the next Texans head coach, Eric Bieniemy and Josh McDaniels, are tied at plus 300. According to Fox Bet, Robert Sala at plus 450. Arthur Smith, the offensive coordinator for the Titans.
Whoever gets it, Arthur Smith has done a really good job with Tannehill. He's done a really good job to, you know, whoever gets this is going to have to make a tough decision. No draft picks, no cap space. You've got to move J.J. Watt, who, by the way, once those teams get in that Super Bowl bubble and you get into, you know, right after the trading deadline, the Ravens and the Niners and the Seahawks, and they're like, yeah, they make it work. And I think J.J. Watt would give you a draft pick and cap space. Outside of left tackle and Deshaun Watson, to me, you got to move some people.
But that's going to be a decision for whoever the interim coach is, because none of these guys are going to be there until next year. So you have the main thing, right? You have Deshaun Watson. So you could start there when you start looking at some of these
jobs. And a left tackle, and a Pro Bowl level left tackle.
So you have that,
yeah.
And everyone thinks Deshaun Watson is a legitimate franchise quarterback and can become a huge talent and have success in this league. But there's so much else that you have to build. Like, they are now in a rebuilding situation.
But I would argue, if you give me a great quarterback and a great left tackle, then it becomes a good job. All the other stuff, draft picks and cap space, Duke Johnson, let him go. Get another running back. They've got some players that are good, J.J. Watt, Duke Johnson. They're good, but you're going to have to make tough decisions. And J.J. Watt, as good as he is, probably past his prime, but he's good enough for a playoff team to go, okay, we'll pay for 2 years. I think, and again, J.J. Watt also deserves the right to not play for a team in chaos and a rebuild. He deserves the right to play for a Patriots or a Ravens.
I don't think I could see Dabo Swinney taking this job, though.
Dabo?
Yeah.
I think he's a college coach. And he's a great college coach. I mean, Nick Saban's a college coach. He could potentially work in the NFL, but the way, you know, these college guys that like to kind of control everything.
But, like, in this climate, making the jump from college to the NFL, you want to go to kind of a stable situation. Like, Joe Klatt was just talking about how there's not going to be that much movement at the coaching position in college right now. If you have a long-term deal in college, these next couple years might not be the time to jump to the NFL and be in a situation where, you know, the NFL is far less forgiving than college when it comes to the job stability. So Josh Allen has been great so far this season, leading the Bills to 4-0, their first 4-0 start since 2008. And Brett Favre, sorry, these flies are driving me crazy.
Yeah, I know.
Brett Favre is already seeing Allen as the next superstar in the AFC East.
Yeah, ooh.
Josh Allen will be the new Tom Brady. You know, at some point, he will be running the division. That kid is a tremendous talent. He can sling it. He can move. For a big guy, he can really move. But more than anything, what we're seeing now is he's taking it to the next level.
Well, he does look great, but the AFC East is going to be very different over the next couple years. Now, obviously, we expected things to be much better for the Jets this year than they are going, but the Dolphins have Tua, which we're going to see within the next couple weeks.
All I know is this. I look at the AFC right now. CBS has the AFC. You're going to get for the next 10 years Patrick, Lamar, Josh, Joe Burrow, and if Justin Gilbert is as good as I think, like, or Justin Herbert, what did I say? Justin Herbert. Like, I look at the AFC right now. Man, some of these quarterbacks, and they're Deshaun Watson. You are set. That's like Manning, Brady, Big Ben, 18 years ago. Like, the AFC has got some, because these teams have been bad. The bottom of the AFC has been worse than the bottom of the NFC last 6 years. So they get all these quarterbacks, and about two out of three are hitting.
And we don't know what we're going to see with Tua.
That's right.
And I think Cam Newton just showed the value that he has with the Patriots, and he's not old.
No, he's not. I have some thoughts after this. I think Cam got himself is going to get himself an extension here.
And that's a knock on Josh Allen. Like, he's been incredible. And what and the Bill, that's the Bills division right now to lose. But I don't know that we'll ever see the dominance that we had with the Patriots.
Oh, God, ever again. Oh, God, no.
And that division.
No. Helped.
Not that they were not amazing. No one's taking away what they did. But being in that division.
They had two dynasties, concurrent dynasties. It doesn't work that way.
Speaking of that division, Sam Darnold injured his shoulder in last Thursday's loss to the Broncos. It looked like he was going to be out for the season the way it was looking, but he did come back in. He will miss this week's game against the Cardinals, and he is considered week to week going forward. And Joe Flacco will get the start in his place. Yeah, that is.
You shouldn't be able. I don't think you should be able to fling a quarterback like that. I honestly don't.
Well, they're pretty much as protected as they can be, but he really doesn't need to take that. He doesn't just go down in that spot. Like, he tried to stay up a lot longer than he did, which is why he ended up getting thrown down like that. But and it's obviously not his fault he got injured, but this is not a good situation for the Jets. They're 0-6 when Darnold doesn't start. We know how it went last year when he was out. Flacco hasn't made his last start for the Broncos since October 27th when he suffered his neck injury, and he didn't play for the remainder of the season. So bleak for the Jets going forward.
There you go. Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
By the way, ESPN yesterday projected based on schedules, momentum, current record, what the draft's going to look like coming up based on division toughness and all this stuff. Giants will draft first, Jets will draft second, Jacksonville will draft third, and Washington football team will draft fourth. Two of the four are taking a quarterback. Three of the four is probably likely. Four of four is possible. And that tells me Cam Newton's getting an extension. Because next year, Cam's going to be 31 and does have a history of injuries. I don't think the market's going to be massive. Secondly, there's just not that many teams that need a quarterback. We're filling all of them. So I don't think it's going to be a robust, dynamic market for him. Number two is, did you see Stidham and Hoyer on Monday night? Belichick's not rolling with that nonsense. And number three is Cam's been good and it works. And they're really only a deep threat away from being, a nightmare for Kansas City and Baltimore. So when I look at that, if you start looking at the draft order and you've got Jacksonville, Dwayne Haskins move, they're taking one. Jacksonville is going to take a star over Gardner Minshew. I think the Giants would move off Jones. The Jets, one of those two will move off their quarterback. There's your three top quarterbacks. So I don't think New England could trade up with the Chargers or an Atlanta or a Detroit and get to like six or seven and, you know, cross your fingers that the Giants and the Jets keep their quarterback. But nobody thought the Giants and Jets would be this bad. We knew the Giants would be a rebuild. But being this bad and the pressure in New York and the TV ratings in New York being like all-time lows in New York for the NFL, it feels like to me Cam is not a renter. He's not a rental. I think he's going to get a contract extension because I don't think New England can get up there. And frankly, it's working. I mean, I said this. If Cam was playing Monday against the Chiefs, that game would have looked different. They didn't even get officiating breaks. So I think Cam and Belichick, it's different, but I think they're a deep threat, a vertical threat from being a nightmare. If you asked Andy Reid today, who do you don't want to play? He'll play Baltimore. They've seen that three times. They don't want to play Cam in New England. They got no interest playing Cam in New England again, especially when you beat New England earlier. Belichick rarely loses twice in one season to the same team. All right, Tristan Thompson, looks like we're going to have ourselves an NBA champion again in Los Angeles, and again it's LeBron James. Tristan Thompson, an NBAer for almost a decade and good friends with LeBron, is going to be joining us next.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
The great and unfortunately late Eddie Van Halen passed away yesterday. Some music from Van Halen, the rock and roll of my childhood. Spent 90 minutes yesterday smiling and listening on YouTube to old Van Halen. And I think a lot of guys my age did. Coolest guy in the coolest band for the longest time. Want to know what's really scary? Geico. It's GEICOween. Get your insurance rates right now. Geico.com. See how much you could save on car insurance. Tristan Thompson has played for almost a decade in the NBA, and he got to four straight finals with LeBron, and he is kind enough and nice enough to join us. So I was watching last night, and boy, LeBron and Anthony Davis and Rondo, all those veteran dudes down the stretch, 6 minutes to go, are playing like grown man defense, and their body language changed. And it is, it's so, this is why I love the NBA. When the veteran guys, Rondo, you know, is not the same player he was 6 years ago, but he's playing real defense. And I want to ask you about LeBron, though. What is the difference between LeBron I watched last night and the LeBron you played with? Is there a difference to you?
I think LeBron now is more skilled of a player. I think I would say more in Miami. I think his athleticism and his God-gifted ability and talent kind of separate him from everyone in the league. But I think right now LeBron is just more skilled. You know, he didn't really start shooting that shot till 2018 when we played against the Raptors, where he hit like six of those. But I think LeBron now is just way more skilled. I think he shoots the ball from three much better. He handles the ball much better. And I think, Colin, you even remember, like, there was times where, you know, he'd give up some threes back in the day or turn up the ball over with just handling. So his ball handling is way better now, and he's really a point guard out there.
Yeah, no, he really is. So he sent a text message to the team yesterday before the game. I know it's not the first text message he's ever sent to his teammates during a playoff series. Did he send one to you at one point?
Yeah, we actually got a text message after when we were down 3-1 in 2016 to Golden State. We won game three in Cleveland, and then game four, Steph Curry and Klay Thompson kept running that 1-2 pick and roll, and literally we weren't able to make the adjustments. So we were down 3-1, and I think it was around like midnight, 12:30. LeBron sends a text message. He says, listen, I know we're down 3-1, but if you don't believe we can win this series, don't come on the plane the next morning, because we had to fly to San Fran. And sure enough, myself and JR, we used some words that are definitely not kid-friendly, but we said, bleep, hell yeah, we're going to be there, because we believe we can win. And look what happened.
Are you surprised at all? And I have been. My criticism all year has been, I know LeBron and AD are great, but this is a lot of old guys, you know, past their prime, young guys, Kuzma, don't owe us trust. But yet in this finals and in the conference finals, the role players, Rondo's defense last night I thought was sensational late. You know, he's just a dog in these big moments. Have you been surprised at all by the play of the role players in the conference and now NBA finals, Tristan?
Honestly, Cole, I'm not surprised at all, because this just makes me feel back when we were in Cleveland when, you know, whether it was K-Love missing games or Kyrie not playing in the – when we played against the Bulls in Atlanta in 2015. So this is – I remember being KCP. I remember being Rondo, Markieff Morris, Kuzma. I remember being those guys that during the regular season or even beginning the playoffs, they would say – and, Colin, you probably said it too. You know, LeBron has Kyrie if he's healthy or in K-Love. But, you know, who from those other guys are going to step up? Is it going to be Tristan? Is it going to be Shumpert? Is it going to be JR, Dellavedova? So I remember being these guys. And I think you got to give a lot of credit to Frank Vogel and his staff. I know when I was in Cleveland, we had Phil Handy, who's assistant coach there, that would do all our skill development, where I feel like all year these guys have been working on their skill, keep getting better. You got to give a lot of credit to the players, getting their individual work, because in the playoffs, teams are going to game plan for LeBron and AD. It's about who are the other guys that can step up and make big plays. And you saw last night, KCP was huge. If you remember back in the beginning of the season, people were giving KCP hell. That's my guy. They're like, KCP shouldn't be there. Get rid of him. Why did we sign him? Blah, blah, blah. But guess what? Those same people that are saying that now are like, you know what? Thank God for KCP. Yes, we signed him. Made big plays for us. And that's what happens. Guys just work on their craft throughout the course of the season, because there's going to be a point in time where their number is called and they have to make big plays.
Yeah, I was one of those critical of KCP. I said he wasn't dependable, but I'll tell you what, he's one of these kids. He does not shy away from taking shots. If LeBron gets him the rock, he will take that shot. And let me say, a lot of guys shrink. I've seen good players, like A players, shrink. KCP does not shrink. He takes the big shot he did last night. And Danny Green's a little hot and cold, but I did think Rondo's defense late was great. So what do you think?
It was huge.
Yeah. What do you think this will do for if they win? They still have a game. They have to win another. What will it do for Anthony Davis's reputation if he has a title now?
Yeah, I think, Kyle, me and you were talking about it early in the playoffs where, you know, if you looked at, they even questioned AD's fourth quarter production. And I think for AD in this finals, I feel like it's the braids, because once he got these braids going on, fourth quarter, he's blocking shots, he's attacking the rim, he's showing everyone, he's proving all the naysayers wrong. And me watching last night, honestly, it made me so happy. It felt like I was like his cousin or someone in his family that, you know, like, go out there and show everyone who you really are and what you can do, because everyone questioned if he has it in the fourth quarter, can he make plays? But look what he did. Took the challenge of guarding Jimmy Butler, getting blocked shots, making plays on defensive end, making big shots, a jab step three with, you know, under a minute left. Those are big time player shots. Those are guys that are not afraid of the moment. So those are huge for AD, and I think it's going to change the whole narrative of how people view AD. And the kid's working. I'm so happy for him.
Yeah. No, I think a lot of people are, because I think he's a really well-liked guy in the league, but he's had some injury issues. It's interesting. Let's say they win. Mm-hmm. Avery Bradley opted out. I don't think LeBron was overwhelmingly happy with that. I don't know what's going to happen going forward, but it's not a big free agent year. It's not going to be a very good draft. Do you think you know the way LeBron thinks? He's always tinkering. He's always tweaking. If they win the title, do you think we'll see the exact same Laker team next year? Will LeBron tinker a little bit? What do you think we'll see? What do you think he would need next year to be satisfied going into a season?
Well, I think, you know, let's say they win. I think if I was LeBron, I think you look at your roster and you look at what you're going to go against next year. You know, the guys in San Francisco, they got a number two pick.
Yeah.
You know, they can trade it to get another dominant player. More than likely, they're going to try to get a big that can make plays, but also play hard on both ends of the floor. So, you know, they're coming in with that, with Draymond Green, Steph Curry, and Klay. So you got to kind of look at your Laker roster and say, okay, how can we match up with this Golden State team? Yes, you know what? We give a lot of credit to, you know, Clippers are great, but listen, you know, the Splash Brothers, you got to kind of form your team where you're able to match up well against them. So I think for LeBron, you know, I feel like they have the right guards. And Dwight Howard and JaVale McGee have done their part. I think if they're going to do any tweaks, it'll be very minor ones. I don't think it's going to be drastic where you're going to go in and grab a third star, especially with this, with the cap and free agency. It's going to be tough, you know, because you're going to have to do a sign and trade. So there's a lot of logistics. So I think for LeBron, it's how can we tweak a couple things, maybe get another playmaker with Rondo or maybe some shooting. But I think that's kind of the room that they have. So who knows? But I think you got to form a team that can compete against the Golden State Warriors.
That's good stuff. Tristan Thompson, 9 years, four titles with LeBron. We're getting close to another one. It's remarkable to LeBron's going to potentially win. Fifth head coach gets to the finals. Fifth head coach. You know what? We only have a minute left. I thought Vogel was great in the last 6 minutes last night. Vogel basically said, LeBron, you're the offense. Pick and roll it for 6 minutes. And people may not love that. I thought Vogel had a good night last night. Your thoughts?
No, Vogel was great last night. I think Vogel made the adjustments from game three. I think game three, Spoelstra threw some wrinkles in there that he wasn't prepared for. And I think that's part of being a great coach in our league, where you can make adjustments game by game. You know, coaching, some coaches are stubborn. I played with some stubborn coaches who were like, just play harder. No, you got to make the adjustments. And Vogel realized, you know what? I'm going to go with my OG veterans. Rondo, I know you haven't scored, but I know you're creating plays by rebounding and running the offense. LeBron, you're the point guard, and you're going to make plays. And that's what it comes down to at the end of the day. When it's the last 4 minutes, it's, okay, put the ball in my best player's hands, the guys that I trust on the floor. Yes, Danny Green's been a starter this whole season, but guess what? I need Rondo in the game because of what he can do on both ends of the floor and create. And he made a big play. And that comes to coaching and believing in what works. So I give a lot of credit to Vogel. Vogel, I've always had a lot of respect for him, and I think people probably question the hiring, but listen, they're eating their words right now.
Yeah, great stuff, Tristan. I love having you on the show, buddy. Thanks again.
No, thanks for having me. I love being on.
Thanks, Tristan Thompson. You know, it's interesting, when you watched the game last night, like, Vogel lets his assistants coach. Jason Kidd's over there, and he's tweaking with the players, and he's talking with the guy, and Vogel's nowhere to be seen. He's letting his assistants coach. But it is important, like Tristan said. There are coaches that are just, play harder. And I thought, with about 7 minutes to go, I was going crazy on Twitter. I'm like, okay, LeBron and AD, LeBron needs to now, along with AD, touch the ball every time for the next 7 minutes. Nothing against Rondo. He shot some nice threes against Denver. This is not Denver.
Big time moments are meant for big time players.
Yeah, this is not Denver. This is the finals.
Yes.
You win this game, you're going to win a title. Like, this is not Denver. This is not, no. I don't care what Rondo did against Denver. I don't want Rondo shooting threes. By the way, Rondo's a good rebounder, good defender. He got a layup at the end. He's not shooting threes. Like, these are moments, these classic, like, biggest drive in the NFL. 17th, 18th hole in a major. You use the club you can trust. You call the play for the quarterback where he's best. And LeBron Vogel just said, next 6.5 minutes, we're doing pick and rolls. You run the offense. And LeBron, 83 all, either scored or assisted on every bucket rest of the way. That's good coaching. Check it out, mdriveformen.com. Boost and burn healthy testosterone. Get lean. Walgreens has it too. mdriveformen.com, hour 3 next.